You know, when the word judge, or even better, judgmental, comes up, what's the first thing that you think about? Here's what usually comes to mind for a lot of people. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when there is a log in your own? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. This is one of those very interesting passages that we have, for as long as I've been around, had a bad habit of taking and applying because of what the first phrase in it says, and we've applied it to everything in a blanket sense. And we've come away with the conclusion that a Christian should never, ever, no, not ever, under any circumstances, pass judgment on anything or anybody. And that's just not true. That's not what this passage teaches. And what the Bible says in so many other places are not in harmony with that idea either. It seems when you read this passage and then read everything else that the New Testament says on the subject of judging, determining, passing judgment, making distinctions, differentiating. Judging is one of those things that we have to do. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul said, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." That's Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, "But examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good." And of course it's verse 22 that says, "Abstain from every appearance of evil." If we would take the idea that some people have that under no circumstances can you pass judgment on anything or anybody, then we'd be in a hard spot when it came time to look at someone or look at what they were teaching or what they were doing and determine and decide and pass judgment on whether what they were doing was right and we could be a part of it, or whether it's wrong and we couldn't be a part of it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, Paul said, "Brethren, actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or a swindler. No, don't even eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those that are within the church? For those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves." I want to suggest to you that there are very many real situations in which the Christian will have to pass judgment. I believe the key, though, is found in John chapter 7, verse 24, in the words of Jesus when he said, "Do not judge according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Judge righteous judgment. That's what I want us to focus on tonight, is the matter of judging righteous judgment. to try to push aside from our minds that old idea that says a Christian can never judge. A Christian has to judge from time to time, but there are definitely some wrong ways to judge. There are some circumstances, such as the matter of hypocrisy that Jesus addressed in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, that would put us in a very bad situation. But we have to judge. And the Lord says, judge righteous judgment. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15, God's law said, "You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you are to judge your neighbor fairly." Now, in all likelihood, right now we've already passed the number of scriptures by several that most folks thought were in the Bible on the subject of judging and judgment. The Bible has quite a bit to say about our attitudes and the way we go about judging. So we're not to cease making judgments, but rather we're to make judgments that are fair and just. And so what would be some guidelines that would help us when judging others, and especially in offering constructive criticism? I've got four or five things that I'd like to suggest to you. They're very simple. If you're taking notes, you'll have an easy time writing these things down. We'll go through them rather quickly. Number one, in passing judgment, be fair. Be fair. Fairness in judgment includes things like looking beneath the surface and considering more than just the external appearances and being very cautious with what we sometimes call circumstantial evidence. Fair judgment would include hearing all of the sides of an issue or a situation and even considering other perspectives. In other words, how does this look from someone else's viewpoint? Am I able to see this as it really is, or do I have a bias already in looking at this? In Proverbs 18, verse 13, we read, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." Proverbs 18, verse 17 says, "The first to plead his case seems just until another comes and examines him." Let me ask you something. Have you ever served on a jury? And if you have, I would dare say that you've probably noticed that very principle that Solomon addresses here in Proverbs 18, verse 17. "The first to plead his case seems just until another comes and examines him." I've heard people say more than once, and heard it just a couple of days ago by someone who had recently served on a jury. Said, "You know, well, when you're sitting there on the jury and they bring that first argument out, you know, that sounds great. In fact, you know, if you're not careful, you'll make up your mind, oh, I'm on your side, brother. You've got me hook, line, and sinker all the way." And then the other side gets to tell their side of the story, and you know, that sounds just as believable as the first one did. You know, it's important that we hear both sides of a story before we make up our mind. Fair judgment includes putting the best possible construction upon all events, not automatically assuming the worst about someone. What is it that Paul said characterizes love? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, "Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And did you know that 1 Timothy 6, verse 4 lists evil suspicions as a sin? How many times have we heard ourselves say, "I suspected he was doing that all along. I suspected that out of her." We need to be very careful that our judgment is fair. Fair does not negate righteousness. Fairness is not opposed to justice. To judge fairly doesn't mean that we compromise, but it means that we judge in view of everything that needs to be considered. Never, never is our integrity and our honor tested any more seriously than when we're making judgments of others. Be fair. Number two, use pure motives. What is the motive in my judgment? Our true intent should be to help, never to hurt. Proverbs 12, verses 17 and 18, he who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The desire to accomplish good, the desire to help, and to see the very best in others ought to be the driving force in a Christian's attitude, the desire to see the best in people. Now, that desire does not blind us to reality. It doesn't mean that we're compromising our principles or that we're giving someone the benefit of the doubt who certainly doesn't deserve it in accordance with Christian principle. But our motive behind our judgments is very important. We need to avoid motives that pervert our judgment. Judgments, for example, that are motivated by anger always come back to haunt us, don't they? Judgments that are motivated by fear don't do anything to resolve the fear, but they actually create greater fear. Judgments that are self-serving, judgments that curry favor with other people, always have a way of creating more problems down the road that'll rise up. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 19 and 20 says, "You shall not distort justice. You shall not be partial. You shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Justice, and only justice, you shall pursue, that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you." We must speak and act in genuine love, because love is the healthy reason for telling the truth, no matter what the truth is. Use pure motives. Number three, be eager to forgive. The harshly critical spirit that lives to condemn has no home in the heart of a Christian. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 gives us the prescription for the Christian attitude. Paul said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 says, "Brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." How eager are we to forgive? Or are we just eager to pass judgment? Number four, guard against hypocrisy. Guard against hypocrisy. Now, that would be in yourself when you're passing judgment. You know, that seems to be the heart of the teaching that Jesus gives there in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Paul says the same thing basically in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Therefore you're without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment, for in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, that when you pass judgment on those who practice such things, and then you do the same thing yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" That kind of hypocrisy seems to have been the defining sin of the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 4, Jesus said to the crowds, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do. For they preach and do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger." We need to always avoid the double standards. Be willing to apply to ourselves the same yardstick that we apply to others. Avoid hypocrisy. And then number 5, be humble. To fail to recognize our own sins and weaknesses because of pride is to make ourselves poor judges of others. In our efforts to correct others, humility is of supreme importance. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, Paul says, "And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." And I want to close by reading to you from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And on this particular occasion, I think the Living Bible translation is very beneficial. Paul said, "Dear brothers, if a Christian is overtaken by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help him back onto the right path, remembering that next time it might be one of you who is in the wrong." Be humble when we find ourselves in a position to have to pass judgment. Jesus is teaching that we should judge with righteous judgment is a tremendous challenge to us. It's a challenge for us to rise up to a higher level in our dealings with others. In fact, we stand to learn a great deal from the judgments that we render toward others. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.